Thank you for putting absolutely no math actually in the book. I appreciate that greatly. You really made an effort to make it as accessible as possible.
Well, that's the work, that's some of the work of writing a book like this. And it's not just for the reader, it's for me. It helps me to think clearly, because I've written books not to make popularizations, that is, not to do a journalistic account of settled science of things that we all understand and agree about, but to take a question which is at the heart of the puzzles that are stopping progress or slowing down progress now, and take one of those puzzles and put it center stage and examine it from different points of view and try to think through them. And so writing these books is, for me, is an exercise of trying to think clearly about the hard problems that face us in science. And therefore, the effort to express clearly in language that anybody can understand what these issues are, what the options are, is helpful to thinking them through.
And you sort of take a step back to say, just, you know, and I think it goes back to my very first physics class when the professor said, imagine an infinite frictionless plane, and that mathematical construct, or that type of mathematical construct, is part of the problem that you have with how time is looked at?
Well, I want to emphasize that I'm not saying that there's something wrong with the way that physics has been usually done since the 16th and 17th century. And that kind of idealization is part of the toolkit of how physics has been done. I have a particular critique to make which addresses the extrapolation of physics as it's usually been done to the universe as a whole. Physics as it's usually been done concerns small bits of the universe, systems that are studied in the laboratory or in astronomy, maybe a solar system or a galaxy, but still small bits of the universe. And there's a particular way of thinking about these and analyzing records of observations made of these systems, which is part of the success of physics, a strong part of the success of physics. The question that I raise is not, is there anything wrong with that method in its context? It's been highly successful in its context. But in the 20th and 21st century, we start for the first time trying to extend physics to a science of the whole universe, of everything in the universe, the whole cosmology, seeing the universe as a closed system with nothing outside of it. And this raises new questions and new challenges. And mostly what we have been doing is failing to meet those challenges. And the reason I identify is that most of the time what we physicists do is take what's been working for small parts of the universe and just scaling them up and applying them to the whole universe. And it's that extrapolation that I'm criticizing.
Let's talk about the concept of time as relativity and quantum physics looks at it, and what you seem to talk about is real time.
So what we do in ordinary physics, in physics up till this time, is we observe some motion being carried out in real time, and then we go through a two-step process to study it, record the motion, make a record of where it was when, and then represent that record by some mathematical table of numbers, or some mathematical equation which summarizes the information in that table. And so once we do that, we take the motion outside of time, because we're no longer dealing with the motion as it happened. We're dealing first with the recording of it. So the recording of it could be just a video. And then we can go through and see on the video, using the timestamps on the frames, when, let's say, we're throwing a ball from me to somebody sitting over there. If somebody took a video of it, we would have a record of where the ball was at each moment of each frame. And that record is outside of time. It just sits there once we've made it. It doesn't change in time. It's not part of the dynamics of the universe. Of course, a little bit it is, because the film is deteriorating or the DVD that it's on is deteriorating a little bit very slowly, but we've taken it vastly. It's useful to the extent that we've taken it outside the realm of time and change. That's the way to put it. And then when we represent it by mathematics, we take a further step, which takes the motion outside of time and change, because the mathematical equation doesn't change in time, it just simply is. What we've done is mistaken the representation of reality with reality itself. Another way to say that is that there's a kind of mystical idea that the experience we have of the experiencing everything in the present moment, which is part of a flow of moments, is an illusion, is not real, and that what's really, really real is some mathematical structure which sits outside of time, which is behind that and which transcends that. And we see our job as scientists to be discovering that timeless, mathematical, transcendent mirror of reality, which we believe somehow is the real reality. And my case that I'm making is that that's a metaphysical mistake, that whole metaphysical picture that there's something which is real outside of time and behind the appearances is just a metaphysical fantasy. It doesn't contribute to actually to the success of science. The success of science doesn't rest on crazy philosophical ideas like that.
The book is Time Reborn, From the Crisis in Physics to the Future of the Universe. I'm speaking with the author, Lee Smolin, and Time Reborn, published by Knopf Canada.